Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Audio Podcast. We're glad you're tuning in with us today. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. Now stay tuned for today's message. Enjoy, and God bless.
John chapter 3, verse 22. Then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went into the Judean countryside. Jesus spent some time with them there baptizing people. At this time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Aenon near Salem because there was plenty of water there and people kept coming to him for baptism. This was before John was thrown into prison. A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciple came to him and said, "Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as who?" As who? Remember that. The one you identified as the Messiah is also baptizing people. And everybody is going to him instead of coming to us. John replied, "No one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the best man is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less." I want to welcome our live audience today that are viewing via Facebook or on our website. Thank you for joining us today, as well as welcome our first-time guests. Thank you for being here. Please join us in Connection Corner after the service. We'd love to spend a little time with you. Today, I'm going to conclude the series that we've been doing on stewardship. And the title of the message today is Stewarding to Your Potential. Stewarding to Your Potential. Potential is defined as having or showing the capacity to become or develop into something in the future. Potential is latent qualities or abilities that may be developed and lead to future success or usefulness. Potential is the capacity to be or the ability to become. It is the capacity to be or the ability to come. It not only speaks of who you can become in the future, but potential also speaks of who you are right now. So stewarding to your potential has two parts to it. The first is, use what you currently have. Use what you currently have. Many people have giftings, they have abilities, they have talents, they have understanding, so forth and so forth, that are not being used. So we say of those people, they're not living up to their potential. They're wasting their ability. They're wasting their potential. The second is, as you steward well, we're talking about stewardship. As you steward well what you have, God increases your stewardship by giving you more to steward while also expanding your capacity to have more. As a steward, if you steward well what God has given you, then God increases your stewardship by giving you more to steward while also expanding your capacity to have more or to hold more or to manage more, or to do more. By way of good use of what God's given, You prove your worth as a good steward. You grow through the process of use, and your capacity to contain more, it expands. And as your capacity expands, God adds more responsibility to that new area of expansion. That brings me to my bowls. Cook up a little Holy Ghost meal this morning. Let's say this bowl contains the things that God's been has given you to steward. All your abilities, all your giftings, your money. Because everything belongs to God. Your understanding, your influence, contained in this bowl. As you steward well what's in this bowl, then God increases your capacity for more, and this now becomes your potential. As you steward well, now with this new greater responsibility, this new greater potential, and again, we're talking about stewarding to your potential, and as you do well with what you have right now, God expands. You steward well what you have right now, and over time, God expands your potential. He gives you more responsibility, and this now represents what you're doing for God. As you steward that well, walking in the goodness of God, being faithful to do what God's called you to do, realizing that everything that you have to steward doesn't belong to you. Your giftings, your talents, your abilities, your money, God owns it. What? How much of it does God own? He owns it all. As you live with that mindset and process life and steward well, then you find that God increases your potential, and now this becomes your level of stewardship. This is our goal. This is where God wants to take us. But we got to go through the process of ever expansion, ever increasing. No matter where you are along this road of bowls, don't stop. Don't stop. If you're here, don't stop till you get here. If you're here, don't stop till you get here, and so forth and so on. And there's even a bigger bowl than this, but this is all I had, so you get the picture. But that's stewardship. From our text today, we see that in God's kingdom, please hear me, in God's kingdom, stewardship and potential is relative to purpose. Speaking of Jesus, John the Baptist said in verse 30, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. John understood that the existence of Jesus, please hear me, had a greater purpose than his own. And with that greater purpose, God assigned to Jesus greater potential and greater responsibility. John also understood that Jesus, or that God equips us with what's needed to fulfill our purpose. Your potential, the things that God's given you to steward, they're relative to your purpose. Remember what the most basic truth that we talked about, that we started this whole series on stewardship is. The most basic truth is this: God owns it all. That's the most basic truth that you must hold on to when it comes to stewardship. And John knew that. So he said in verse 27 of John chapter 3, he said, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. The most basic fundamental principle of stewardship is God owns it all. What we have, what we receive from God, God gives to each of us what we need to live out our purpose. Nothing more, nothing less. He gives according to purpose. He also gives according to ability. Nothing more, because God is not into waste. He's not into waste. He's not going to give us something knowing that we do not have what it takes to steward it well. But please hear me. If you do not steward well what you have, it's not on God. It's not God's fault. It's on you. God gives nothing less, because what's needed, he gives us nothing less than what we need to fulfill our purpose, because God is just. And being the just God that he is, he's faithful to make sure we have everything we need to live out our purpose. So here is point number one on stewarding to your potential. God gives us things to steward according to our ability. He gives us things to steward according to our ability. The God-given enablements that you have, your talents, your giftings, your skill set, your understanding were given to you because you, listen, God gave them to you because you have the ability to manage them. You have the ability to steward them well. You have the potential to be a good steward. If you did not, God wouldn't give it to you. Look at Matthew 25, 14 through 15. Listen to what Jesus said about that. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To the one he gave what? 5 talents. To another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. Each one according to what? His own ability. Do you get that? So please hear me. If you're not being a good steward of what you have, it's nobody's fault but your own. Because everything that God's given you, according to the words of Jesus, you have the ability to steward. Everything. God gives according to ability. In this parable, Jesus teaches that no one receives more or less than what he can handle. When it comes to stewardship, the issue is not how much we have, but how well we use what we have. You have the potential to fulfill everything God's given you to do, because God himself has equipped you with what you need to be successful. That's some Holy Ghost cooking there, Kim. God has given you everything you need to be successful. Every single one of you. So stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. Stop talking about what grandmama did and papa did. And listen, now I know those things are real. I don't want to downplay those things, but I want you to understand God's greater. Because what? The superhero lives in us. Amen. He lives. If you belong to Jesus, he's in you. And everything you need to be successful, God has given to you. As you show yourself faithful by properly using what you have, God increases your potential for more. But you got to be faithful here. If you're not faithful here, you won't get here. Why? Because God's not into waste. Got to be faithful. As you show yourself faithful, God increases your potential, your capacity for more potential. He then assigns to you more responsibility. Steward what you have well now, and God will give you more. Steward poorly what you have, and God will not only not give you more, but according to the parable of the talents, he take away. He take away what the poor steward has, and he gives it to someone who's a better steward. So please understand, it's not just about increase. It's about moving from being in the bowl to out of the bowl. Because even what you had, if you don't steward it well, according to Jesus, God take that away and he gives it to someone else. God does not want his resources wasted. And according to John, everything we have, we received from God. Every little thing matters to God. Every little thing. That's why when I see a penny, I pick it up. I don't care how beat up it is. I don't care if it's on heads or tails. I've heard those old wives tell, if it's on tail, it's bad luck. Well, all the bad luck money that you have, give it to me. I'll gladly take it. I'll take every bit of it. I don't walk over a penny. Because it matters to God. And if I will not show God that he can trust me with the little things, why should I expect God to trust me with more? I was coming back on Wednesday from Christiansburg, Virginia, and I'm walking through the breezeway to get on the plane. And as I'm walking, first class had gotten on, Sky Priority had gotten on. Sometimes I'm fortunate to get bumped up to Sky Priority. Sometimes we're fortunate to even get bumped up to first class. Not nearly enough, but so a lot of people had gotten on before me. I'm walking through the breeze when I look down, there's a penny and a nickel. What do you think your pastor did? I picked it up. And there was a guy behind me who said, I see you. And what he was saying was, if you didn't get it, I was going to get it. But I beat him to it. Every little thing matters. That brings us to point number two. Do not waste what you have. Do not waste what you have. Do not think anything is too little. Do not think anything is insignificant in God's kingdom, because it's not. Do not waste what you have. Use what God has given you, your talents, your giftings, your skill sets, your understanding. Use all those things for God's glory. The Apostle Paul used a very interesting metaphor to describe how he stewarded what God had given him. He said in 2 Timothy 4:6, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now, a drink offering consisted of wine that was poured out on an altar as a sacrifice to God. Paul viewed his life as such an offering. Paul was determined to use what God had given him to the extent that when he died full of God, but empty of self. Paul was determined to use what God had given him to the point that when he died full of God but empty of purpose. He died full of God but empty of talent, full of God but empty of giftings, understandings, even preaching, because he poured it all out on God's altar of sacrifice. Paul emptied himself by fully using everything God had put in him. Everything. As John the Baptist said of Jesus, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Apply it to your person. God, your superhero, must become greater and greater in you. And you must become less and less. The more we use what God has given us, the more we pour out our gifting, our talents, our skills, our understanding, the greater our capacity becomes to receive more. Now that's, man, it's hard for us, man, to understand it. You empty yourself that God may give you more. Point number three. And this is very important to stewardship. Point number three. Do not compare what you have to what others have. Very important. Do not compare what God's given you to steward to what he's given to others. That is important because remember, God gives to us according to what? Come on, according to what? According to ability. According to ability. Comparing yourself to others can get you in a lot of trouble. I fully understand that there are pastors and leaders. They have a greater ability, a greater capacity, greater potential to do more than I can. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. As long as I steward well what God's given me to steward. Because I understand as I do, my capacity increases, my responsibility increases. God asked more. When the disciples came to John, they said to him, Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the man you identified as the Messiah, that man is also baptizing people. And guess what, Rabbi? Everyone is going to him instead of coming to us. When they said that to John, John was not intimidated because he understood his purpose. And he refused to compare what he was doing to what Jesus was doing. Do not compare yourself with others. Instead, steward well what you have. And as you do, God will increase your potential and your responsibilities. That is the process of discipleship. Everyone say discipleship. That's almost a curse word in the church today. And you know what the most basic component of Christian existence, besides glorifying God, is to make disciples of other men. That's the most basic component. Being disciple increases your capacity to steward more. I'm convinced that a good disciple is also a good steward. I don't think you can be one and not the other. That is why we do so many things here to disciple you. our growth tracks on Wednesday nights, our life groups that meets twice a month, life groups are meeting today, joining one of our ministry teams, our Love Out Loud next Sunday. This is an act of discipleship. It's teaching you principles of God's kingdom. That God's kingdom is not so much about what takes place in the four walls of this church, but listen, we're to serve our community. You need to be a part of that. That's discipling you. Listen. Even our prayer circles that some of you are still not comfortable with are vehicles of discipleship. Now, let me talk a little bit about why prayer circles. As we began to grow as a church, altar calls became very difficult. When we went to two services, it became very difficult to pray for all the needs that people may have. So we use prayer circles so that everyone here can have that prayer if they need it. Now, I know that makes some of you uncomfortable, so let me tell you, you don't have to participate. I mean, it's okay. If you're uncomfortable praying, then you don't have to participate. Or you can get in a circle and let someone else pray. You don't have to pray, okay? But that's a very important aspect of our church. Because this is what I know. Please hear me. Hope I don't offend you. If you're not comfortable praying in here, you're not going to do it out there. As a matter of fact, I would venture to say that some of you are even uncomfortable praying at home, praying with your spouse, praying over your children. So when we have our prayer circles, it's not to make you feel bad. It's to help you understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. I understand that some of you may be uncomfortable praying with others. But please hear me. Comfort is not a component of discipleship. Comfort is not a component of discipleship. In other words, to be a disciple, you got to get out of your comfort zone. I'm going to give you a four-part approach to discipleship. Number one, get out of your comfort zone. Number two, get into God's word. Number three, allow stress to be applied to your life. And number four, go back to God's word. If you don't get out of your comfort zone, you'll never be discipled. If you run from stressful situations, you'll never be discipled. So we get out of the boat, Leanne. Out of that, and she has, listen, this, you know I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you, but I'm not talking about you. This woman is an amazing worship leader, okay? But I looked at her and she was connecting with me, so I'm not talking about you, I'm talking to you. Is it okay if I talk to Leanne? Yeah. Let me talk to you, Angela. I'm going to talk to you. You get out of your comfort zone. And as a child of God, when you become uncomfortable, you should turn to God's word. Say, Lord, comfort me in this. Comfort me in this, God. And you do not run from stressful situations. Allow stress to be applied to your life. Because as a child of God, when you feel stress, what should you do? Turn to God. Say, God, help me in this moment of stress. And as we go through this process, we're being developed as disciples. I was sitting in the airport the other day, and I get a call from our president of our denomination. And I know Glenn, but Glenn doesn't call me just to say hello. Okay? And he wanted to ask me something, if I would consider doing something. Something I've never done. Something I've never envisioned myself doing. Something that would make me very uncomfortable, would put stress. And I said, Glenn, thank you for believing in me. Thank you for considering me. But you know, that's just something I never envisioned myself doing. So he gave me the word. This is what he said. Perhaps this is your Moses at the burning bush moment. Listen, being discipled in the things of God means you got to get out of your comfort zone. You got to allow stress to be applied to your life. And every time you do, you turn to God and you find something, and God does something, and then you go through that whole process again. Comfort does not produce a disciple. Making sure someone does not have to endure stress, the stresses of this life, does not produce disciples. It does not help them be discipled in the things of God. Disciples are made when we give them God's word, get them out of their comfort zone, and apply stress to their life. Now, the stress that is applied at first can be simple disciplines. Personal disciplines of prayer, the word, church attendance, disciplines of serving others, the disciplines of increased learning. You should want to learn more. And also, developing close proximity relationships. That'll get you out of your comfort zone. Now I'm going to talk to Leanne. I can choose to know you from afar, or I can choose to come in close proximity, relationally, and let you see things about me that you can't see when I'm up there, let you know things about me. Maybe you didn't know about your pastor, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Become vulnerable to you. See, that's close proximity relationship. How much of that exists in the church? Not enough. Because we do not allow ourselves to be discipled. I want to keep you at arm's length. Because when I keep you at arm's length, then you can't get into my stuff. And we all have our stuff. I got to finish this up. As you grow in your ability as a steward, as a disciple, the level of stress that you can be exposed to, listen, as you grow, you got to get this. Oh, you got to get this. This is going to help some of you guys understand why you feel what you feel. You're growing. As you grow in your abilities as a steward, as a disciple, the level of stress that you can be exposed to and handle, it also increases. It is those moments of stress or those pressure points in life that expands your capacity for more. When we show ourselves to be good stewards, allow our capacity to expand, prove that we have the potential for more, God gives us more. That is the essence of discipleship. That is stewarding to your potential. Receiving from God, giving to others what he gives us, increasing our capacity to receive more, and then pouring that out. The more we allow ourselves to go through that process, the more God increases our potential as stewards. And the more we go through the process of discipleship, the more we learn the ways of our master. And the more we learn the ways of our master, the more we're able to replicate in our lives what is in his. Point number four, understand the seasons of your life. Listen, if you're going to be a good steward, if you're going to steward to your potential, you must understand the seasons of your life. You must know what God has called you to do now and do that with everything within you. Knowing your purpose and living out your purpose, listen, that is the most gratifying feeling you can have about yourself. To know your purpose, to live out that purpose. Now, I hear some of you saying, but Pastor, I don't know my purpose. I'm going to give you something very elementary that defines your purpose. And if you get this, you can grow from that. You exist to glorify God in your life. If you don't know nothing else, know that. Every one of us have that basic purpose. We exist to glorify God. John the Baptist knew he was not chosen by God to be the Messiah, but he was chosen to be the front, to be the forerunner. He was chosen to be the best man. He said in verses 27 through 29 in John 3, it says this, John replied, no one can receive anything unless God gives it to them from heaven. You yourself know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride. And the best man is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Wow. John knew he was just the best man and with great joy was privileged to prepare the way and prepare the people for the coming of the heavenly bridegroom. Last point, point number five. Finish your seasons well. Focus on your purpose, not your problems. Finish your seasons well. And we have many seasons through life. Every bowl represents a season. Finish this season well. This now becomes your new season. Finish this season well. This now becomes your new season. Finish this season well. This now becomes your new season. There's many seasons throughout life. And as we finish each season well, God gives us potential for the next season, and so forth and so on. Discern the seasons of your life and utilize what you have in that season. Do not exhaust yourself by trying to give something you don't have. It's important that in every season of life to not give too much or too little. Everything you need to fulfill your potential, God has given you. Not using that potential leads to laziness, which causes God to take away what he's given you. Overuse or overexertion leads to burnout. There are amazingly gifted, wonderful men and women of God that are dropping out of the ministry at an alarming rate. And many of them are saying, I'm burned out. I cannot do this anymore. It is so important that you know the seasons of your life and that you do not overexert yourself to the point of burnout, because once you burn out, there's very little that can be done to help you. The only cure I have found for burnout is time out. Time out. Time out to fulfill your emotional tank. Time out for you to refocus. Time out for you to recalibrate. Finish your seasons well by focusing on your purpose instead of your problems. John the Baptist served hard. He served well. He was faithful and dedicated to God's call in his life. Jesus said in Matthew 11:11, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But, everyone say but. But, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. That's you and I. Jesus spoke of John's greatness. But I want to close with the passage of scripture that shows John's humanity. Maybe even suggesting that he didn't finish well. Now, don't get me wrong. I know John's greatest. He's with Jesus, okay? But I'm talking about as far as living out his purpose fully. I believe in the midst of his most stressful time, John focused more on his problem than he did his purpose. The words that we read of John in John the Baptist in John chapter 3 paints a clear picture that he understood his role in life as well as the role of Jesus. He clearly knew who Jesus was. He identified him as the Messiah. When Jesus went to John to be baptized, the Baptist said to all who would hear him, "Behold, look, look, here comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." But when you lose sight of your purpose, you focus on your problems and doubt about God and his purpose for your life begins to set in. I believe that happened to John. And I want to close with this scripture. Matthew chapter 11. We read the words of John in John 3. We know he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." But stress has a way of bringing out our humanity. And it's important that you understand that, because if you don't understand that, sometimes you'll feel like you're a failure. Listen to this. Verse 1. When Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in towns throughout the region. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting?" Remember, he's in prison. Stressful situation. In stressful moments, you got to focus on your purpose and not your problems. You got to focus on your purpose and not what's stressing you out. He said, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" This is the same John the Baptist who said he's the Messiah. Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you've heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell him," listen to this, "God blesses those who do not turn away because of me." The New King James uses the words, "those who are not offended in me." Sometimes we get offended. We find ourselves in a stressful situation. God doesn't show up when we want him to. He doesn't show up how we want him to. But Jesus said, "Blessed. You're blessed if you're not offended. You're blessed if you're not offended." Amen? Let's stand to your feet this morning. I want us to just take a few moments and want us to pray. And again, if you're uncomfortable praying, please, by all means, you don't have to participate. You can stay in your seat. You can pray to God, to yourself. If you want to join someone and pray with them, let them pray. Please do that, okay? But I want you to know, I want to put you on a little stress, but I want to make sure the stress that you can handle. Amen. And they're going to put up 4 prayer points. This is what I want to pray for this morning. Pray that we use what we have as good stewards. Pray that we grow in potential. Pray that we get out of our comfort zone. Pray that we turn to God during our moments of stress. We want to steward to our potential. We need God to help us do that.
And that's a wrap. Thanks again for tuning in to today's message in our Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. If God has impacted your life through Restoration Church, we want to hear your story. So please email us at amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.